Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Rohmer.
By his chief to pick up a confidential report on a Far Eastern matter from Sir Gregory Hale, former attaché to the British Embassy at Pekin. Nayland Smith and Dr. Petrie find the diplomat in his hotel at the point of death. On Sir Gregory's pillow, Dr. Petrie discovers the power of silence, the first effect of which is to render one instantly inarticulate. Sir Gregory scribbles a few words before he dies, warning Smith to beware of the man with a limp. While guarding a brass chest, presumably containing Sir Gregory's confidential report, Dr. Petrie hears a cautious, dragging step and the tapping of a cane in the hall outside the door of their hotel suite. As he hurries to waken Smith, Dr. Petrie discovers, attached to the shade of the bed lamp and about to touch the face of his sleeping companion, the deadly flower of silence. With a cry of warning, he tears the light fixture from the ceiling.
The light fixture! It was hanging within an inch of your face. Look, fastened to the edge.
Great Scott.
The flower of silence.
Someone was at work on the floor of the room above. They cut a hole in the ceiling of our bedroom and drew the lamp cord up, fastened the flower to the shade and let it down again. You would have tried to brush the thing away.
Now I see how the flower of silence was introduced into Sir Gregory's room by the light fixture over the bed.
Thank heaven, Nayland, I saw it in time.
And thanks to you, Petrie, old chap, I'm still alive.
Listen. Come on, Nayland. We shan't miss him this time.
No. There are times when it pays to be prudent. Neither of us are leaving this room tonight.
But to let him escape?
As long as Sir Gregory's brass chest in our possession, we won't lose the man with the limp. Or the sea farm.
What is the meaning of sea farm, Mr. Smith?
Well, I believe it's the name of an extensive secret society. With branches reaching from Tibet into every corner of the Orient.
Does that answer your question, Sergeant Fletcher?
Partly. Mr. Smith, Inspector Weymouth has told me what he knows of this case, which is that brass chest on the table, locked, contents unknown, came into your possession through the death of a man who brought it from Tibet. He's dead, possibly murdered by members of this C-Fan. You know there is someone here in London anxious to get hold of that chest, right?
Exactly, Sergeant. I have theories about their identity, but no facts.
Sergeant Fletcher specializes in Oriental crimes. He spends much of his time among our Asiatic visitors.
Then you are familiar, Sergeant, with Chinatown?
I am, sir. Thoroughly. And with many of its big men. For instance, Inspector Weymouth tells me that you're looking for someone described as the man with the limp.
What do you know of the man with the limp?
There's a place down Shadwell Way known as the Joy Shop, run by John Key.
It's a gambling joint, an unlicensed grub shop. And worse, it's more use to us open than it would be shut.
It's one of my regular jobs to keep an eye on the place. I have plenty of friends who use it. Of course, they don't know what I am.
But the man with the limp, what about him?
That's the mystery, sir. Everyone seems to have heard him, but no one has ever seen him.
You heard him?
I have. When Inspector Weymouth told me about this C-Fan mystery, I thought he might be the man you're looking for.
And you say he's been heard in this joy shop?
Yes, and if you'd care to look the place over, a good opportunity has come up for you to do so.
Oh, how do you mean?
A woman has lately shown up there, about the same time as the man with the limp. She's a bit different from the usual type, though. Eurasian, but a good looker.
Eurasian, you say, Sergeant?
A half-caste, at least. A tigerish sort of person. In looks, I mean.
You know her?
Well, I've done my best to get into her good graces. To a certain extent, I believe I've succeeded. I was there last night, and Zuleika, that's her name, asked me if I knew a big, strong fella.
A strong fellow, eh?
Yes, I thought it might lead you to something anyway.
So you told her you had such a friend?
Yes, and promised to bring him along this very night.
Good. I'll be that man. I'll leave all details to you and Weymouth and meet you at the yard tonight. We'll go disguised, of course.
Right, sir.
Speaking of Eurasians, Doctor, when does Karame sail for Egypt?
She and her brother sail tomorrow.
Now, Petrie, I'm leaving you out of tonight's business. Unless Weymouth can find a place for you in his part of the program.
He's welcome to go with Mackay and me on the police launch.
I'll be with you, Weymouth.
Right. Then Fletcher and I will be off to make the necessary arrangements. We'll look for both of you at the yard this evening. Come along, Fletcher.
Now, wait a moment, Weymouth. I'll go with you as far as the street. I'm taking a taxi to the bank. This chest goes into a bank vault today.
Joe, why hasn't Leland returned?
Hello. Buckingham 2, 9292, please. Been back hours ago.
Yeah. Oh.
Scotland Yard? Put me through to Inspector Weymouth, please. Dr. Petrie's calling.
Hello, Petrie.
Oh, Weymouth? Have you heard from Smith?
No. I'm out for the bank this morning.
Well, it seems to me one of us should have heard from him today.
Oh, no cause for alarm, Doctor. Smith's never punctual. He'll show up in time for tonight's work.
Yes, I suppose so. However, I think I'll come up to the yard immediately. I'll leave word for him here. If he turns up at the yard before I arrive, have him call. Well, any word from Smith yet, Weymouth?
Nothing yet, Doctor.
To which bank, Dr. Petrie, did he take that chest?
The West End branch of the International.
Suppose you call the resident manager. He should be able to tell you if Smith was there today.
Yes, yes, Radcliffe should know. We're both acquainted with him. Will you get him for me, Weymouth?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Put me through to the West End branch of the International Bank. The resident assistant manager, his name's Radcliffe. I don't know the number offhand. Look it up.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there's any cause for worry, Petrie. He's bound to show up any minute.
Probably. Nevertheless, I'm uneasy. I'm sure he'd have gotten in touch during the day. We would have dinner together before coming on here.
Weymouth speaking.
Mr. Radcliffe, sir.
Right. Put him on. Radcliffe, Dr. Petrie.
Right. Hello, Mr. Radcliffe. This is Dr. Petrie.
Hello, doctor.
Has Nayland Smith been in the bank today?
Nayland Smith?
Yes, yes. He was to have deposited some valuables in your vaults this morning. He hasn't been there?
Why, no, doctor. No, I haven't seen him today.
You're sure of that?
Quite sure.
Very well, then. Thank you. Well, gentlemen, Nayland Smith has not been to the bank today, and he left the hotel before 11 this morning.
Hmm. And the last thing he said in the taxi, he was going directly to the bank.
He couldn't have taken that stuff to some other bank, Doctor.
Unlikely, Weymouth. He told me he was going straight to the West End branch of the International. Well, I've had a premonition all day. Something's been bothering me, and I believe I know what it is. That cabman.
The cabman?
Yes, the one who drove Nayland this morning. I noticed he didn't look around or speak when Nayland gave him the address.
He was a small fellow, wasn't he? Wore dark glasses?
By Jove, yes. And if it hadn't been for those glasses, he'd have been handsome, effeminate.
By the great Robbie Burns, you mean it could have been a woman?
That's exactly what I mean. That confounded Eurasian woman of the hotel.
By Jove, the C-Fan.
It is no easy matter to patrol the neighborhood of John Key's shop without their getting wind of it.
That's right. The entrance is a long, narrow lateral of the street, running at right angles to the Thames. There's no spot from which the backyard can be overlooked.
Here's the river police station. Mackay will be waiting. Come along.
The police launch can drop down the tide, right off the Surrey bank. There's a vacant wall facing the street. You can slip through, Inspector, and show a light. Then Dr. Petrie and I will know you've arrived. We'll answer your signal. If there's any trouble, we'll blaze away with our revolvers.
Right. Well, here we are, Mackay. You don't seem to recognize Dr. Petrie.
Dr. Petrie? Great Scott. I wouldn't have known him in that makeup in a month of Sundays. What's up, gentlemen?
It's the Fu Manchu business again, Mackay.
Fu Manchu? I understood that case was off the books. I thought he'd burned to death in that house in Carey Street.
Some of his friends are pretty much alive, then. It seems that Fu Manchu was only the agent for someone a great deal bigger.
By Jove. Has the real head of the business turned up, then?
We find we are now up against what is known as the C-Fan.
The C-Fan? What in the name of common decency is that?
You see, Weymouth, always the same question. What is the C-Fan? Perhaps Mackay Nayland Smith could tell you, if he were here. The C-Fan got him today.
Got him?
Nayland Smith is missing, Mackay. Vanished. Fletcher here has found out that John Key's place is connected in some way with the business.
Johnny Key, eh?
Well, let's get started, Weymouth. We're wasting precious time. You know what that may mean.
Right. Mackay, I'm going with you in the launch. Fletcher and Dr. Petrie are going by cab.
Only part way. We'll walk the rest. Johnny Key's patrons don't as a rule show up in taxis. Come along, Doctor.
Don't forget the signal, and don't go into that dive until you have our reply.
Right, Inspector. There's the joy shop on the left. That dim light's coming from the open door. Here's the wharf. Through this old gate. Just a moment. All right, Doctor, slip through. Be careful. It's only a few steps to the edge of the wharf. And lower your voice.
Great Scott, it's black down here.
I'll use my flash so we can find our way to the edge. Be careful of those boards. They're pretty rotten. All right, Doctor. This will do. Keep an eye out there for Weymouth's reply. There it is. Three flashes. Right. And now for John Keyes. Keep your eyes open, Doctor. There isn't a man or woman in the place would hesitate to cut our throats if they suspected we were with the police. Come on.
Thank you.
too.